York City, connected with the world. Here's Tom Sullivan.
Well, here we are, and glad you're here as well. Welcome to the Big Radio Show. Happy Tuesday to you on this 28th day of August. I know. 2018, I mean, this month is like Zoom, and I don't know. It feels like summer here today. It's hot, hazy, hot, and humid. The whole eastern half of the country is sweltering. So fall is coming soon, isn't it? I think. I hope. The president, I find this frustrating because President Trump was duly elected, and yet the president is not a dictator. So there are three branches of government, and the president has to abide by the other branches. But it does seem that all of these things that the president went out as a candidate and said, this is what I want to do. I want to do this and this and this. They get shot down when he tries to do them by some judge somewhere. And whether it's the travel ban or whatever you want to go through, the various things that the president has come up with, the latest is that a judge in D.C., federal judge in Washington, has struck down significant sections of three executive orders regarding government employees. We have talked, you and I, many of us, including those of you who work for the government, about the fact that government unions, I just don't think they should be there. I think you've got the civil service system, and it worked fine. Even, I repeat it again, FDR even was going, no, to government unions. The whole business about they raise a bunch of money, and then they support various candidates that they will later be negotiating with for pay raises. It's just, where does the taxpayer get a seat at the table for that negotiation? Never. But this latest one was that the president wanted to be able to reward good employees of the federal government and to fire, yes, Mr., you're fired, fire bad ones. And so we've seen these attempts take place primarily. I think the most visible has been the efforts at the Veterans Administration, at the VA, to get rid of people that were making up false records so that the veterans had to wait and wait and wait and wait for medical care. But it's not just there. It was before Donald Trump came on the scene, this back in the Obama years, or maybe it was the Bush years, when the General Services Administration had their big convention out of Las Vegas, and they had the classic photo of one of the big shots in that GSA sitting in a hot tub with a martini looking out over palm trees and a pool and everything else. And they were there on taxpayer dollars. They were living large. And you can't get rid of these people. So we talk so much about the fact we got the Securities and Exchange Commission caught red-handed, a bunch of them, not just peeking at porn, but spending hours on their federal computers looking at porn. We've got the IRS going after specific taxpayers because of their political leanings. And nobody gets fired. Lois Lerner finally retired with a big fat pension. So most of us, and I want to believe that a lot of you in government too, are looking around and going, there's a bunch of slackers here, and I wish there was some way to fire them. So the three executive orders were an attempt to, number one, cap the amount of time that union officials that are federal employees but also are union officials for the federal employees cap the amount of time that they can spend on union business. I'm not sure how that works in the private sector, but I would assume that if you are working for a company and you are the shop steward, you're allowed only so many hours for your union activities. The other hours are to work for the company that's giving you a paycheck every month. So the first part of the executive order was to limit the time that these union people could spend on union business. I don't know how much he wanted to cap it, but I think doesn't seem unreasonable to have some time limits. Number two was to speed up disciplinary procedures. It can take months, if not years, from the time somebody commits some violation, maybe a criminal violation, to get that person out. I know here in New York they've got a rubber room for teachers that have been accused of molesting students, and they're still employed, and they still get paid, and they've been going to a rubber room to sit and, I don't know what they do, sit on their phones and do things all day long, but they almost never get fired. So what the president wanted was to speed up disciplinary procedures so that if there was somebody who did something wrong, you can get rid of them. And the third part of the executive order was to unilaterally adopt performance-based pay plans. I like it. I've always said, all the way up to Congress, let's have, for those of you that work in government, and you work hard in government, you should be rewarded for your hard work and not get the same exact pay as the slacker that's down the hall from you. You put in the extra hours, you put in the extra time, you put in the extra effort, you put in the extra smarts. There should be some sort of merit bonus that you should get. I've long contended that we should bonus members of Congress. They make too much right now, but I would rather pay them double, triple what they make, but trim their base salary down to, we can debate the number, but make it something so that it's minimal, if nothing. And say, all right, if you come in with a balanced budget, this is your bonus. If you come in with, and go down the list of things that you want to achieve, here are your bonuses. And bonus the people that are our elected representatives so that they have a financial incentive to do good things. And I would like that to apply to people that are, you know, I've talked to many of you that work in government, state government, federal government. You know you're not all exactly the same. Nobody is. Everybody is not the same. We're not equal. I know there's groups that say we need equality. No, we need equal opportunity. After that, forget it. We are not equal. We're all different. We're unique. So for those of you that are really good at what you do, why can't we give you a bonus? So the president suggested capping union time for federal employees, speeding up disciplinary procedures, and adopting performance-based pay plans for federal employees. So this judge in D.C., Ketanji Brown Jackson, said, nope, you cannot do that. That the president has exceeded his authority because Congress has established collective bargaining rights for federal employees through the Federal Service Labor Management Relations Act. All right, so now we got to go through this old drill. So it's a law. Congress passed this law. I don't know when it was passed. I have to look it up. Some president somewhere signed it. So I know. I wish we had a Congress that worked. We don't. I wish we had a Congress that was not dysfunctional, but that's who we have. But wouldn't it be nice to have them go in and scrap the Federal Service Labor Management Relations Act or make drastic changes to it? Why can't somebody be fired for doing a lousy job? I don't know why people that work for government are so protected. So this judge wrote a 122-page decision saying that presidents do have the power to sign executive orders on federal employee management relations, but only as long as they don't conflict with the law. And she said, this court has decided that the unions had the better of this argument. So at this point, National Treasury Employees Union, just one of many that the federal government employees have, said that the judge found rightly that the president is not above the law, cannot, through these blatantly anti-union, anti-worker executive orders, eviscerate employees' rights and undermine the collective bargaining process established by Congress. So there's a bunch of them. There's a bunch of unions that are all coming out, and they're going, great, this is terrific. So when you hear that some federal employee has done something very wrong, the just good luck trying to get rid of them. Like I said, we've got teachers in the city where I live that have been accused of molesting students, and they are still paid their salary, even though they have been taken, thank goodness, out of the classroom. So what do you think? Is this judge right? Is it, the president tried to do this with a pen and a paper, and the judge says you can't do that. So do you want the president to have that authority? But the only way to do this is for Congress to do something. What do you have any way of finding out whether your person that represents you would support changing this Labor Management Relations Act that protects the federal employees? Why can't they be like the rest of us? Phone number here is 855-295-6600. We'll be right back. Some of you get pretty vicious. The problem is you've got to find somebody that cares.
Tom Sullivan.
Follow me on Twitter, the address at Sullivan Radio. Sean Hammy sends me a tweet, says it's Congress's job to write laws, not the president. If there is a law currently in place, you have to go through the proper channels to change it. Unions are a very tough group to challenge in reality. Yes, they are. Yeah, it has become where President Obama was very, he came out and said, I got a phone and I got a pen. And he was pretty aggressive with his executive orders. All presidents have issued executive orders. But it's one thing to change a law. It's another thing to regulate something within the government. The president changes regulations all the time. So the question is this a regulation or a law? It looks like it's a law. Can't change it. Dan in California. Hi, Dan. Thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
I appreciate it. Yeah, I was listening to your show, and just, you know, I've been in corporate America. I'm 34 years old. I've been in corporate America working Fortune 500 companies, two of them, since I was 18. And all through going through a corporate, publicly traded environment is you get one, two, three strikes, and you're out. You have to be productive. You have to fulfill the role that you're in. And if you don't, then you're hurting the company, and you're causing waste. And waste is money, and waste is inefficiency. So if you don't cut it, you're out. And that's what makes it competitive and makes people work hard, because they're held accountable for the things they do wrong. And they get praised for the things they do well, such as getting a bonus if you're really good at what you do. And that's what makes everything better. So, yeah, like walking a DMV, holy crap. You know, it's just like, it's ridiculous. So how is that ran, and how is a corporation that successful ran?
Let me tell you, the last time I was in DMV, which was, I think it was last summer. In any case, I there was a guy there who was great. So shouldn't he be paid more than the people that are around him?
What's the benefit and what's the worst thing that could happen if you do that? You're only going to promote success and cut the fat, and then things get better and more efficient. That's just a good way to go about it. I don't know why you got to put in protections and let people skate by and not get held accountable for wrong they did, for the inefficiency they are. It just makes you be complacent and not get anywhere.
Yeah, they're protecting the downside, but they're not offering an upside. They want to.
Got to have it both ways. You can't have it one way.
Well, I'm with you. You're singing to the choir here, but I'm exactly with you. And I'll tell you one other thing. Many years ago, there was a person who kept calling in sick all the time, worked for me. Called in sick, called in sick all the time. Wasn't there. Really good when she was there, but she kept calling in sick, so she wasn't there. I kept warning her and kept telling her, look, you got to be here. We can't, you're sick. She wasn't like some sort of serious illness. It was just calling in sick. And so finally I had to let her go. And I walked into the department where she was working, and I said, well, so-and-so's not going to be here any longer. They all applauded and cheered because they were having to do her work. So
pull her weight.
They knew. Her coworkers knew. They were thrilled. So,
Why is there a discrepancy on this? My question is why is it that the unions and this judge is saying, no, you can't do that? And if ask the whys, and where do we get with those why questions? You know,
I understand the judge's ruling. I think presidents do not have total power over the law. If it's a law, then get Congress to change it. Good luck there. But I've never understood the union mentality, which is we're all brothers, we're all sisters, we're all equal. No, we're not. No, we are not.
No.
Some work harder than others. Unions protect. I'm fascinated by it because you get a mindset going. Unions protect those people who otherwise would be in danger of losing their jobs. But the good ones.
Well, my wife works in the hospital for a union, and her union rep came and she told me that she'd never worked for a union. And she's like, this is the weirdest thing that happened at work. My union rep came around and tried to get us all angry about our 8-hour shifts instead of having 12-hour shifts, and asking us, like, don't you feel like you're not being treated fairly? And she just went around asking all these questions to all the employees to stir them up so they can just have something to go about it. You know,
I guess.
How is that efficient? And but then you look at it, they pay union dues out of her paycheck. So it's a business, you know, it's all the money.
Yep. I don't know. I don't have the answers, but Dan, thank you. I do appreciate your call. Phone number is 855-295-6600.
He likes it when you talk back. Tom Sullivan.
Well, CM Borg 3 sends me a tweet, says, I also got that Chinese spam call. What do you mean you've gotten? I thought that was the lottery. I won the Chinese lottery. You won it too? I've gotten to the point where I don't answer my phone. I know. That's kind of the answer. All right. So, president gets shot down again on something that he wanted to do. Running his business, and we've talked about it before, the Trump Organization, he had a lot of people that worked for the Trump Organization, but they were contractors and subcontractors and all of that. But his organization wasn't a big, giant company, so he was able to know who was doing a good job and who wasn't, and he made his fame by saying, you're fired. So he wanted to be able to reward with performance-based pay plans federal employees who outperformed their jobs, and he wanted to cap union officials' time, their government employees, how much time they spent on the job on their union activities, and he wanted to speed up disciplinary procedures. I'm for all of that. The problem with it is the union went to court, and the court said, you're not able to do that. You're the president. There is a law, Federal Service Labor Management Relations Act, and you have to abide by the law. I would think if I was the union, though, I'd be going, hey, what if we can get those bonuses? What if we can get bonuses in that performance-based pay plans? But no, they don't want to do that. I'm baffled by all of that. Phone number here is 855-295-6600. Brian, thanks for waiting. Welcome. You're on the Tom Sullivan Show.
Well, thank you, Tom. I've been wanting to call in for a while now, listening to you.
Thank you.
I have to admit, I'm kind of laughing. I hope you have your hip boots on as you wade into this part of the swamp.
Okay.
I worked for the state for 10 years after over 25 years in corporate, yep. And there's a huge difference between private and civil sector, as you know.
Right. Well,
in answer to question,
I don't know. I did work. The only government job I ever had was when I was a highway patrolman, and that was 100 years ago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the main thing, I'd say there's three reasons for what you're bringing up that it's not going to work. One is the lawyer nation.
Yeah.
The second is the quality of management that would put the performance, whatever, depending on the position, the performance review they would be putting in the specifics, not the managers. And then they would also be, shall we say, over you, grading what you decided to do about each performance. And then you have the quality of just the whole system itself saying, what is the job function for today? Because we're driven by the politics. And it has nothing to do with day-to-day, eight-hour work the same once you move up to a certain level. To give you an example, I had a person that I was had under written review to improve their work ethic.
Yeah.
The next thing I know, I have a lawyer involved that's accusing me of discrimination because I'm married and he wasn't.
Really?
Where does this come from?
Yeah.
The thing you should examine is, in civil service, is the lawyers and the lawsuits that are there in managers' files for just the most outrageous reasons that hold up disciplinary measures, that make people afraid to...
How do you solve that? How do you solve it?
Well, how they solve it in civil service is they transfer them out. That's how they move.
They move them to another government job.
Yes. And in government, they have a thing called covering my plan. And covering my plan means if I'm not doing my job, you cover what I'm doing, because if you're not doing your job, I'll cover you. And no one talks about it. No one discusses it.
What?
Because everyone's covering their plans.
What?
And you can see this unfolding in Trump's, the thing
that's
happening in Trump.
Say that again. So you're not doing your job, and you and I work together. So somehow I'm supposed to do your job for you?
No. You're supposed to allow me to do less than my job, knowing I'm not doing my job, because you know you may not be doing your job. And so if they...
Well, what if I am doing my job? I look around and I see a bunch of slackers. Why can't I...
You're in a minority.
Oh.
You know what I was told, I think it was 8 months after I started. I had a real problem when I almost left. It was just so bad. Someone came to my office and said, you know, you're taking on a lot of work. And I said, well, we need to improve, blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, the reason is, you're like a ship. They will fill you up until you sink. Because as much as you can do, they're going to let you do it because they know in the end you'll sink. And then within 6 months, it'll be back the way it was.
Really?
And these are people at work have had, you know, a long tenure with civil service trying to help you out.
I am convinced whenever we do any sort of topic griping about government employees, there's always people who call and say, yeah, well, I worked 62 hours this past week and the week before, we're working our tail off. We don't, you know, we are we're hardworking and we're doing a lot of things and we're accomplishing a lot. And I go, okay, maybe in your office, your agency, but what about the one across the street or down on the floor below you? And I got the feeling that there are some people that are working their tail off in government and some that aren't. And I would like to be able to reward the people that work their tail off.
Well, Tom, there. Don't get me wrong, and even in my department, I had a tremendous team. I had people that, yes, 40, 60 hours, whatever you need to do the job, whatever I need to improve myself, yes, yes, yes. The problem is mixed in with these people are people that don't do their job, that know how to play a game, and you can't get them out because of the union, because of the lawyers. Because the minute something goes wrong, there's no at will employment and firing.
So there's no accountability. I can just go in there and just put my feet on the desk and say, fire me. I dare you.
Well, it isn't that blatant, but in a way, yes. You know? And the other problem is that it is so strange and different than private sector unless you work it. You really can't believe what you're seeing is because, say, 95% of the civil service employees are some of the best employees you could find. They really are. The problem is the 5% that's in there that moves around civil service that you can't get rid of.
Well.
Or if you do, you it's going to take a lot of stress out of you,
yeah.
You know, in your job, in your life. And, again, you're dealing with lawyers.
I presume then if there's 95% good, 5% that are not good, that you just shrug and go, okay, we'll just live with the 5% and just ignore them. Ignore it.
That's what happens. Yes. Yes. We used to have a joke, us managers said, we should have a department that is just made up of these people. You just transfer them over there so we can do our work.
Well, like I said,
because
New York City teachers, they literally have something called the rubber room. And that's where the duds yes. go. That's where they go.
Yes. And that's probably the reason. Is you can't have them working by you because they disrupt the whole department. But you can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
You know, you saw, you know,
fascinating.
I think you would brought up the person that was sick all the time.
Yeah.
They have a good reason in civil service. I mean, if they've got a doctor, good luck on you getting rid of them.
No, this was the private sector. I just said, here's your last paycheck. I got to run. But, Brian, thank you. Very interesting. I appreciate your call and your expertise. We'll be right back.
Stop yelling at the radio and get on the phone now. You're with Tom Sullivan.
Yeah, so the president wanted to be able to limit union time by union officials and speed up disciplinary procedures and adopt performance pay plans, which, bonuses. Oscar in California. Hi, Oscar. Thanks for waiting. Welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm doing great. What you thinking?
Well, I was a union steward, and I've heard both sides of how stupid people can be.
Yeah.
One of them is a manager who had absolutely no training is out there evaluating people for some very highly technical skills.
Oh.
And the other one is where you have somebody who is a employee who was being brought up, and the interesting thing is that he was being they're bringing up charges on him for not, you know, using the work he was supposed to do. The problem is he was never trained in it. Everybody else got trained in it, but he didn't. And it was a mandatory to have that training. So you can have both sides of the coin here.
Yeah.
You know?
So let me ask you, let me ask you. So it's this is your union steward in a government agency, correct?
Correct.
So how did the manager get to be the manager of a technical area without having any technical knowledge.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Who'd he know? Or she know?
A grievance was filed because all the employees were doing technical level work.
Yeah.
You know, all IT and everything else, they had skills and everything else, and they were moved from a non-technical to a technical position. And by default, he got the position because he was a manager of that unit. So he got promoted to an IT manager that never had any experience in IT.
I see. So all of his people were technical people, but he wasn't.
You got it. That's right.
So, but I don't have to know how to fix a car engine to supervise a group of mechanics, do I?
You need to know something about it, because if, for example, you hire somebody who has no skills or no skill in that area, he's only ever worked diesels and never worked any combustible engines, and you want that same person
to be making
decisions like that, and the answer is no. Or if you have somebody who has some accounting experience, but you're doing auditing, they require totally different skills.
So,
skill sets.
Okay, so I'm with you. What about bonuses? Does anybody get bonuses? Or it sounds like from this case against the president that he was looking to adopt performance-based pay plans. Would you be for that?
Well, honestly, no, and I'll tell you why. The reason is because my experience also has shown there's been a lot of nepotism and favoritism.
True.
And that's the hardest thing to file against any manager who does that sort of thing. And the program I was in, people had had all the experience and the knowledge. They were being tapped for it, but were never being promoted.
So this is where, Oscar, be patient with me, because I don't understand why somebody would, if they were better than the rest of the people, why would they stay? And I know what your answer is going to be, benefits and all that, but I'm going, you got to get up in the morning and look yourself in the mirror and go, I'm better than all those people. Why am I? In fact, I will tell you, I left a place of employment that I had, very highfalutin place that I worked at many, many years ago, because of the fact that we were logged in as a group, and there was a bunch of us that were hired. Every year they have a big hiring, and I was part of this group, and I got a pay raise at the end of the year that was the same as the guy who was the slacker, and I said, I'm done. I'm not going to – I should earn more than that guy. So I left.
I agree with you wholly, and here's one of the problems too. Some of those favorites are also the slacker.
Well, your phone's fading out. Say that again.
Is that better?
Yes, much better.
Okay. What happens, too, is when I talk about nepotism and favoritism and all that, is that a lot of times, I'll give you an example. I had a manager who would go out and play basketball with a couple of staff for an extra, more than an hour after their lunch. And then I complained about it, and he puts the weight on me as though I'm the one who's complaining and against them, whereas he should have been doing his job, one. And two is that I created a certain expertise in doing the job, and what people are doing is say, give it to him. He knows what to do. And I'm thinking, you should have those skills just as I've acquired all those skills too. And it goes back to bad management. It happens all the time. And that's not to say all managers are bad, but that's to say that there can be just as bad management as there can be bad employees.
But there's bad managers
and
everywhere. There's bad managers in the private sector, but they get weeded out eventually because hopefully most of them do. But for the life of me, I don't understand why anybody would object to a bonus program to give people an incentive to do a better job, rise above what everybody's doing, and be rewarded for it. I think rewards work rather than protecting the downside is putting some sort of reward out there for people. But Oscar, thank you. Always learn from those of you out there in caller land. Well, listen to that. We've got the full comment line band working today. Not much to write home to mom about, but mark it up 14 on the Dow to 26,064. S&P up part of a point, so technically that's a new record. NASDAQ up 12 points, so that's a new record. The price of oil, $68, and the price of gold, $1,207 an ounce. On the comment line, this caller thought of a good way to stop spam phone calls.
I tried to sell him a timeshare condo in the Omaha area. That always gets rid of them pretty quick.
I love it. Hey, thanks for calling me. By the way, would you like to buy a timeshare in Oklahoma? This caller is worried about the Chinese phone call.
For goodness sake, don't press 9. You'll wind up with a lifetime subscription to Toenail Fungus Magazine.
Wow, that's my favorite magazine. That'd be great. Lifetime subscription. I don't know. I was worried about the Chinese lady, but I didn't know if she was swearing or... I'm going to press 9 next time. If I get that Toenail Fungus Magazine subscription, great. Now they'll be surprised that I actually understood them. All right, have yourself a wonderful rest of your Tuesday. We're going to try this again tomorrow. Hope I'll see you at that point as well. See you then.